Ireland has quietly become one of the world's largest puppy exporters, with crates of young dogs loaded under cover of darkness at Dublin Airport, bound for destinations as far as Singapore. Sunday Times journalist John Mooney has been investigating the sometimes murky world of puppy farming, online marketplaces and the global demand for designer breeds, from some shady breeders to regulatory loopholes and heartbreaking pet owner stories. His investigation revealed the uncomfortable truth behind those cute puppy pictures online. Hi John, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. John, can you just tell me what first led you to investigate Ireland's puppy export trade?
This is an issue that I had actually documented nearly 30 years ago when I worked undercover for the BBC, investigating puppy farming. And at that time, I carried hidden cameras into puppy farms in Cork and exposed some of the conditions there. So both I and the Sunday Times have had a long history of investigating these issues. But what I've noticed of late is that this whole industry, in the dog breeding industry, it's been turbocharged by globalization. It's been turbocharged by social media and the internet. So if when you see people with, you know, Cavapoos and all these type of dogs, virtually all of them have been bred on puppy farms. And whilst those pups, some of them will become gravely ill and develop all sorts of health issues and behavioural issues when they're, you know, bought usually online through classified advertisements on specific websites or through social media posts. There is a whole network and hive of activity going on surrounding that and the production of that dog. So Ireland has now become one of the big producers of designer dogs for Europe. So the puppy farms that are in this country produce dogs that are sold internally for people like you and I who look up advertisements on certain websites or see something online. And then they go off and they will visit the kennels in some cases and purchase it from there, or they'll be brought to a house in some cases that's actually an Airbnb that's being rented for that particular day. And they'll be amongst various people collecting their dogs at that location. But there's also a trade where animals are brought and they're legally exported to different places around the world.
I was just going to ask you about that, John. €8,000 some people are willing to pay as far as Singapore.
Well, like we documented cases of like literally every Wednesday morning, and there are crate loads of dogs delivered to Dublin Airport, and they are exported to different countries in Southeast Asia. And they're probably going on from Singapore as well to other countries in the region. So this is all perfectly legal. These dogs are put in crates. There's various companies arrange this, and they'll be shipped out to animal dealers in Asia. Once they arrive in Asia, these animals are photographs are taken of them. They're given very cute names, and they're put up online on Instagram or whatever, and they're sold via those methods. But in many cases, some of these dogs are actually photographed in Ireland, and they're actually sold before they even arrive. So the prices are quite astounding. I mean, we tracked dogs that were puppies that were being selling for €8,000. Phenomenal amounts of money. Now, this, again, does depend on the breed. But the markets out there for dogs, the public don't seem to be aware of where some of these animals are coming from. No one seems to be asking the question, why are people in a city-state like Singapore buying dogs that are bred in Ireland? No one seems to be asking that question as well. So but it's, again, this is all benefiting, and it's being turbocharged by societal change. For example, a lot of women are not having children until much later on in life, but so they get a puppy instead, and they mind that. That's a big thing in Asia at the moment. Sometimes people just want to see a dog that looks cute so they can post it on Instagram. And indeed, some of our research outlined how there are people in Singapore, for example, on Facebook groups that say they will post details of their own dog and say, we want to have a get together with its other litter mates that were sold from such and such a pet shop on such and such a date. And these people all meet in a park together and go out for walks.
And one of the things you highlighted in the article is that some people shared horror stories of some of the puppies that they purchased falling ill or dying soon after purchase. What are the most common issues they generally face?
Well, there's lots of different issues. And again, this is an issue that the public seem to ignore. And there's a psychological drive to, if you see a dog or you see a puppy that, you know, is being offered to you in strange circumstances, that you will buy it nonetheless, because it makes you feel as if you're saving that particular dog whilst you're ignoring the suffering of its mother that has been forced to breed again and held in God knows what conditions. So we located people who, for example, had bought dogs from particular breeders in Cavan, and they had went up being kind of told a story, purchased the dog, and literally immediately some of these animals had their health started to collapse. And I spoke to a number of owners who actually had animals that they either had to put to sleep or simply just died from having various issues, including damaged livers, hip dysplasia. Some of them had heart defects as well. And these became really apparent the moment they brought the dog to a health check. So again, the message is, if you log on now and you see an ad for a particular breed of dog, and it doesn't matter whether they have a dog breeding establishment's registration number, that just means it's a licensed puppy farm. The chances are that it has came from a puppy farm, or almost certainly has came from a puppy farm, and you literally can be flushing your money down the toilet or setting yourself up for a lifetime of hardship with looking for an animal that will inevitably develop significant health problems, particularly dogs sold around Christmas time. No reputable breeder would ever sell a puppy under any circumstances in December. It just doesn't happen.
And you did speak to breeders who said they adhere to high welfare standards. Is ethical breeding even economically viable in this landscape of puppy farms?
Not really is the truth of it. So if you go to the Irish Kennel Club, or better again, you can go to your local animal welfare shelter, and they will have any amount of dogs that are looking for homes. And those dogs, will be tested. They'll be given a veterinary check, etc., etc. They mightn't be fluffy and white, and they mightn't be similar to some influencer's dog that you see on Instagram, but you are not contributing to the suffering of dogs if you rescue one and adopt one. The one thing that I've noticed in all of this, and it just shines through as having investigated it for over a year, and we use the same techniques that we use to investigate organized crime gangs and terrorist organizations and people involved in very serious type of offending. But so to map out what's actually happening and how much money is involved in this. But the one thing that just shines through the whole time is that when you talk to people, they want to get a cute-looking puppy. And they often say to you, well, I didn't feel comfortable with taking a dog from a shelter because I couldn't guarantee where it's coming from. Yet, they will go on, they'll log on to a website that's offering dogs for sale. They will ring some dealer who tells them some cock and bull story about how many dogs they have, or that they can't see the bitch or whatever, and they will then pay thousands in some cases over to these people without having any knowledge or understanding of that dog's history or background or what that person is involved in. The real rule on this is, if you are buying a dog and you're transacting that online through an advertisement, it's coming from a puppy farm. There's no Cavapoo, Labradoodle or anything else that's been sold that isn't coming from one of these breeders. They're all coming from these breeders. If you're seeing ads for hypoallergenic dogs, that doesn't even exist. It's a made-up term that they use to charge people extra to sell these animals. So, you know, the real rule on this is go to the Irish Kennel Club if you're looking for a legitimate breeder who's selling a particular breed. If it's a designer dog, it's coming from a puppy farm, I'm afraid to say. And the real best thing is to actually go and adopt a dog.
And John, you did mention the Dog Breeding Establishments Act in 2010. And you also mentioned the role of local authorities. Are local authorities failing?
Well, failing is probably a kind word to describe it. This legislation was brought in a number of years ago with the intentions of prohibiting large-scale intensive production of dogs, because no one thought for a moment that any council in this country would issue licences for anyone to hold hundreds of dogs in a breeding facility. But yet, that's exactly what happened. And I believe that happened for a number of reasons. I believe that councils did not move against these premises that had, some, in some cases back in the day, thousands of dogs, for the simple reason is they did not want to incur the cost with having to seize them, rehome them, or inevitably put some of them to sleep because they couldn't be rehomed. So therefore, they started licensing these. So that legislation, while it was designed to stop this industry, in point of fact, turbocharged it. And what I see the whole time is that puppy farmers will say, well, we're licensed, we have a dog breeding establishments number, therefore everything is okay. But as we've outlined in last week's investigation, that some of the conditions on the licensed premises, the people that have been given licenses by local councils, are absolutely horrific. And what you see is councils refusing to take action when these cases are found, or sometimes what we see is the puppy farmers themselves switching the license into someone's name, and therefore stops a process where the license is removed from them. So they enter into a cat and mouse game with the enforcement agencies. That's if the laws are being enforced. Again, there's no limit to the number of dogs that be held in these places. They're not publishing their inspection reports because they think the public would be horrified by this. And that saying springs to mind, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There was quite good intentions when this legislation was introduced, but it has had a contradictory impact insofar that it's actually encouraged the trade. And indeed, when I meet people who've bought dogs from these designer dogs from the puppy farms, or they bought them online, they often say to me, oh no, our breeder is a legitimate breeder. He has a dog breeding establishment license number. That doesn't mean anything. That just means they're coming from a puppy farm.
And John, a year-long investigation condensed into two pages in the Sunday Times over the weekend. Can I just ask, just in wrapping up, was there a moment from your investigation that stuck at you the most?
I think there was one particular individual that we were monitoring, and this particular individual is involved in exporting dogs, and he has one particular location that is licensed, but I suspect that he has many others in operation, and certainly he is dealing with dogs. And I managed at one stage to get very close to a shipment because I needed to see the paperwork that was accompanying these dogs. So I some of these shipments are flown out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, they're dropped off at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I won't go into the methodologies that we use, but we use various methods to get close to see what's actually happening. And we're doing overt surveillance like that. And I remember just looking in a particular crate with a number of little golden retrievers that they were weaned, but these were desperately scared little animals, and they were about to take off to the far side of the world. I remember kind of saying to myself, like, really, is this what this has come to? I mean, this is a business, it's an industry, they're being treated like products. And the ironic thing is, I'm pretty sure the people that's paid thousands for these dogs believe that purchasing them is a legitimate thing to do, and they come from happy homes. And all I could say is, if they only knew. I mean, there is no one who, there is nothing justifies paying money to someone that is involved in this type of activity.
Okay, well look, if anybody does have the Sunday Times from the weekend, there is a quite an extensive report from yourself, that was John Mooney, investigations journalist with the Sunday Times. John, thanks so much for your time.
You're more than welcome.